Okay, let's turn our Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The second portion from Acts chapter 4, verse 20. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Okay, let's read the verse once again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, for this portion. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our midst, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you are ready to minister to your saints today, God, this evening. We surrender the portion. We surrender all of us into your almighty hand, Lord. You told us, God, to expect great things from you. Lord, you also told us you are going to do exceedingly abundantly, Lord, beyond what we ask or think. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, in book of 1 Peter, actually let me get through the background of it. Peter is writing to the believers, Jews and Gentiles, who were scattered abroad because of the persecution. Who were scattered abroad because of the persecution. Peter is writing this letter to exhort them, to encourage them. Or he is communicating your communication intended to urge to take some action. That's what exhorting means. So Peter is exhorting the people who are scattered around because of the persecution. So now, when we see this time, when we read book of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout. He says he is writing to the strangers scattered. Okay, now, before we get into the strangers part, what I would want to say here, even we were once upon a time, according to Romans chapter 5 verse 10, we were enemies of God. We were enemies of God. And the same chapter says we were ungodly, we were completely gone away from God. But now because of Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross, now according to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13, we are brought closer to God. Meaning we are near to God, we are with God. That's what I would want to say. Since we are with God, now God sends you and me to the world to live as a stranger and pilgrims. According to 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11 and Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13. Now what I want to say here, once we were strangers or enemies of God, ungodly, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are brought nigh, we are brought closer to God. Now again God sends us back to the world to live like a stranger and pilgrims. It's incredible to think in that way. It's like I'm from India and I go to America and I become ambassador and I come to India and live like a strange. Okay, so because I'm representing America. So same way God also has done for all of us. Okay, because there is a purpose behind why God placed you and me as a strangers and pilgrims. Okay, now, as I assume that we all believed in Jesus Christ, or if not, this is the opportunity to believe in Christ so that you can brought closer to God again, that you can receive the eternal life, which is going to be forever and ever. Okay, now as we are closer to God, we are strangers and pilgrims. Now Peter is writing to them who are scattered around as a stranger in the world because of the persecution. Now what I would want to say here as a principle from here, what Peter wanted to emphasize here, the people are living like a strangers and pilgrims in the world, that is right according to the world. According to the Bible, it is right. They are living like a stranger and pilgrims. But what Peter is trying to emphasize here, as you live like a strangers and pilgrims in this world, there is a very much possibility that your heart, that fire can go off. Fire can go off because of the persecution. So Peter is saying that make sure the fire is not going off because of the persecution. So Peter is preparing all of them to withstand the persecution, not giving up. Not giving up. That's what Peter is in his mind and writing to the people around to encourage them to withstand. Even the persecution was terrible. That's what I read in the Isagoge. So still Peter is encouraging them very much. So what I want to say here, even in our life, in our church, there is a tremendous things are happening actually as everything is before your eyes. This is what we can learn from this portion, meaning keep the hearts on fire for God. Let that not go off for any reason. For any reason. There is nothing. There is no reason we can say to excuse these things. So that is what Peter is trying to tell all the believers who are scattered around, because God is time and again reminding us that we are still strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We don't have anything here. Our home is in heaven. It is not here. So God makes a way, one or the other, to remind us time and again, my son, remember that you are a stranger and pilgrims. Your home is in heaven. Let your hope and eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Christ called us unto. That's what even Peter is emphasizing to the people who were scattered abroad. Okay, then next point what I would want to explain here. Then chapter 1 verse 3. He is talking about lively hope. He is talking about lively hope. When we read verse 2, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Because that is what they were lacking in their life. So Peter is saying, peace be multiplied and grace. And verse 3 it says, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto your lively hope. What I want to say here, the grace and mercy not never ever decided to leave you and me at any time, because we are saved by the same grace and mercy. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 10, when you read, it's full of grace and mercy. Nothing is, our works are not merited there, meaning we cannot merit any of the things before God, but we have been saved by grace through faith. So Peter is saying that again and again, grace and mercy, because of abundant mercy has begotten us again unto your lively hope by the resurrection. Okay, now when I say lively hope, do we have hope? Yes, of course. Even the worldly people, they all have hope in one or the other. Meaning when they get into the bus, they are hoping to reach the end. Of course. But now without hope, the journey will be miserable. Okay, now what I would want to see is Peter is saying about lively hope. How can he can be sure this is a lively hope? Because he continues lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he is no more dead, he is alive. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is not only alive, he is risen in our hearts. In our hearts, he is living in our hearts. Who is there to witness in our hearts? My son, I am alive. Because you are alive. You were dead once upon a time. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, 2 and 3. Once we were dead, but now we are alive because Jesus Christ risen in our hearts, and he is saying, my son, I am alive. Because of him who is alive in our hearts, our hope is a living hope. It can never ever be dead because our Lord Jesus Christ, once he died, rose again. He is no more going to die again. That's what the book of Hebrews says. He is no more going to die. So our hope is a living hope. Imagine who is writing here. Peter. That's an incredible thing. Meaning when I was reading, I got shocked. Are Peter's writing these things? Who denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times? Ran away and Jesus Christ went and brought him back by saying, do you love me, my son? Now, same Peter is writing here in the Epistle of Peter, living hope. It's incredible. I couldn't digest this. Okay, now, see what I found something else. We are going to get into some great thing. I'm exceeding my time, sorry. Okay, then, let's go to Titus chapter 1, verse 3. Titus chapter 1 verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. This is the hope which was in Peter's heart. He is crying out, our hope is a living hope. Living hope, because our hope is in heaven. We are going to meet Jesus Christ one day. That is our hope. So that is eternal life is in our heart. Now Peter, having understood this completely, then we will see where and all he learned these things, okay? Because of the lively hope in Peter, there are many, many things the lively hope has done in Peter's lives. That's what we are going to see, run through and close it. Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Okay, it says, okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 14. The moment God the Holy Spirit came down, and verse 14 when we read, but Peter standing up with 11. Peter standing up. It is like when we sit like this, Pastor Guru used to sit in the front seat. Then we will be sitting while the song is happening here. Suddenly he will stand up and he will be clapping his hand. Then by looking at him, we all will stand up one by one. He may not know that, but I know that I was behind him. So same way, here out of 12, Peter stands up and he is preaching. All because of the risen, living hope in his heart. Nothing else. That is what making him, enabled him divinely, gave him strength to stand up and preach. Then because he preached the gospel, see, when while he is preaching, verse 36, 2 verse 36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He says, you have crucified Jesus Christ. In fact, he is the one who denied 3 times and he ran away. What I mean to say, when the living hope in our hearts, our past, we also would understand our past is buried. Our past is buried, gone forever. We don't have to dig the past anymore because it is going to stink. It is going to stink. So Peter forgot those things and he said, you are the one who crucified Jesus Christ, who denied Jesus Christ. What made him to say that? Because of the living hope in his heart. Living hope. Nobody can shut because the source is Jesus Christ. So the source is unending, as we heard on Sunday, because of the source is unending, we are the human vessel, we cannot contain it. Because we are limited being, rather it is going to overflow. Nobody can shut us up. That is what happening in Peter. Okay, then as I quickly run through, because of he stood up and spoke, chapter 2 verse 41, 3,000 got saved. 3,000 got saved. Okay, and then chapter 4 verse 3. Chapter 4 verse 3, there is a question asked. There is an inquiry. They are putting them through because of their preaching the gospel. Okay, 4 verse 3, it says, they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now even tide. And when we run through, they beaten him. Chapter 4 verse 10, it says, be it known unto you, meaning when it says they laid hands on them, in fact they were beaten them. Now Peter is answering them, verse 10, chapter 4 verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. Then verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What I mean to say here, there was no fear at all. There was no fear. Out of so many people, among so many people, Peter is telling, there is no other name by which you are going to be saved except Jesus Christ. Such a boldness, such a strength he received because of the living hope which was in his heart, which was risen hope he had. Okay, then as I close now, chapter 4 verse 13, there's again the people are trying to stop them preaching the gospel. Okay, 4 verse 13, they were marveled actually when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus Christ. Okay, now verse 18, as I close, verse 18, it says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak to all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They are telling them not to preach. Then verse 19 and 20, he says, verse 20, I want to mention verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Imagine that verse. Peter saying, though you want to kill me, go ahead. But verse 20, he says, for we cannot but speak the things which you have seen and heard. Because human being, they are nothing before the divine, great almighty God. Who are we? We are nothing. Because our vessel just limited. So our source is unconditional and eternal. So that is what the lively hope has done to Peter, which enables him to write to the scattered people, you have a lively hope. That's what Peter is reminding himself, and he's telling all of them. Because they are also in the same condition as Peter was in Acts chapter. They were trying to persecute them. They overcame because of the lively hope. He also encouraging them, my dear brothers, I also went through what you are going through now, but I wanted to tell you something. Your hope is living hope. Your hope is not a dead hope. That's what Peter is encouraging, because Peter have gone through now from the experience he is writing. In fact, he is not trying to recollect all the failures, okay? So he's trying to recollect what can build others up, edify others up. So as I want to say, three statements and close. Now, what I believe will affect my practice. What I believe will affect my practice. When we believe right, the practice will be right. When we believe wrong and pretend as we believed right, in time, God will put the person through, the right belief will come out. I will say this once again. The right belief will produce right practice. there is a possibility for a person to pretend as if his belief is right, when he is in his heart the belief is wrong. As he pretends and his the days are passing by, then God will make a way to reveal the wrong belief to come out and show it to everyone that he believed wrong. His belief was wrong. What do you want to say? Peter believed right, which the circumstance could not stop him at all. At any cost, the circumstance, persecution, nothing could stop him. Because his belief was right, the practice also was right. Where he even willing to give his life for Jesus Christ as a martyrdom. He gave his life because the practice revealed the belief what he had. Okay, then number two, what I want to say, we are to desire our experience from our position given by God. We are to derive our experience from our position given by God. We are to derive our experience from our position given by God. Meaning Peter knew his position. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. He is seated in heavenly places. So he is deriving all his experience from his position given by God by grace through faith. Okay, number three, as I close now, one have to die for another to live. One have to die for another to live. What I want to say here, Peter and all the apostles, when we see, they are willing to put their neck for the gospel's sake so that their life would be released and many would be saved. Many would be saved. That was true witness in their lives, which we can learn from them. Okay, how they derived their experience from their position from God, not out of their failures which was buried and gone forever. Rather, they were deriving their experience from the position what God has given them, which is enabling them divinely to go all the way, to reveal their belief what they had upon the rock that is Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your presence is with us, gave us the divine understanding. Father, we trust you, God, to give us illumination. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.